Jim Shoemaker and Scott Jordan are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., securities dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Shoemaker Financial is independently owned and operated.
Helping you make the most of your money, it's time for Talk Money. Now, your host, Jim Shoemaker.
Whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial, it doesn't seem to matter. A common concern is always money. Welcome to today's program. We have got a lot of information for you. Today's program, we've got Scott Jordan, and he's going to talk about some fundamentals. He's going to really give us some basics on some money management principles when you're an investor. Dane Williams is going to talk about some insurance problems that we have in the state, that is Tennessee, Arkansas, or in Mississippi. And I mean, there's concerns that carriers are faced today. You don't want to miss that, because if you haven't shopped your insurance recently, you're going to be possibly kind of surprised at what you may have to be paying. And also, Daniel Orwin's in the second half of the program. He's going to take us to scam school. We're going to talk about problems when it comes to rental cars. And I wouldn't even thought about this being a scam. We're going to talk about that with Daniel Orwin coming up. But first, let's go ahead and Scott, this fundamental, we kind of take this for granted, but a lot of people think through this, and you've got people that are, you know, novice investors, and they run, kind of get scared or move through this, or even the sophisticated investor that's been around a long time. These are just basic fundamentals that everybody needs to understand when it comes to managing money.
They are basic principles, and they're also the principles that are somewhat within our control. You know, a lot of people, when we talk with people, of course, they want to talk about their investments and the economy and all that. And a lot of that, to a certain degree, is outside of our control, outside of our circle of control. So we like to bring people back down and say, well, let's focus on the things that we can control. Those behaviors, those principles that lead toward wealth creation.
Well, you know, when you think through that process, and again, these are basic principles, money management principles, and you talk about control, I think what happens to a lot of people, they get started, and maybe because they haven't really put these principles into place, the minute that they have some bumps in the road or some, you know, emotional issues, they're not... It's hard to maintain the control, and you get kind of out of your lane.
You bring up a good point. It's very challenging. We all have, to certain degrees, a limited amount of financial resources at our disposal. And on the other side of that equation, we have unlimited ways to use those cash flows. And it's very challenging to zero in and go, okay, how do I spend this money? How do I use this money in a way that's going to enhance my life, both today and for the long term?
All right, let's make sure we give these principles. I want everybody to be listening. Get a pencil if you got a chance to write these down. Obviously, don't do that if you're driving. But, you know, there are five fundamental money management principles. I want you to give them to us. One, two, three, four, five. And then I want us to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So the five are: spend less than you earn.
That's so simple.
It is so simple. Seems so simple. We'll, okay, we'll dive into that a little
All
bit.
Right.
So spend less than you earn. Avoid or at least minimize the use of debt. Build margin, build liquidity, set long-term goals, and give generously.
Now,
those are just five basic money management principles.
And we talk about this all the time as being just, this is the principles that you just need to kind of write them down, spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, build liquidity, or you said margin, set long-term goals, and give generously. Basic. But, man, they are game changers if
they
you
are.
Put those to principles. All right, let's walk through spend less than you earn.
Like you said, that seems so simple. now, you have to start there.
But I
because,
don't do it very well.
Yeah, let's go back to what I said. We all have limited financial resources coming into our financial picture, and we have unlimited ways to use that money. So one of those keys is to spend less than you earn. You know, figure out how to take some of that money and set it back for the future. Now, there's a lot of areas that we spend money on. I will name kind of what I call the five short-term uses of money, and that's live or lifestyle, give. We'll talk about that in a minute. Either owe taxes or Odette, and finally grow. So live, give, O-O, grow. That's the short-term uses of money.
Well, that's pretty good. I like that. Live, give, O-O, grow.
And
I got
grow.
It.
Yeah. So
did you come up with that originally?
Of course not. I don't have an original idea, Jim. But there's no independent financial decisions, right? Whatever we spend in one of those areas, whether it's to pay down debt or to pay taxes or to give or to save, then we don't have that for lifestyle. Whatever we spend in lifestyle, we don't have those for those other buckets. So really, I always like to start with people and try to figure out what percentage of our income are we spending in each of those five areas, each of those short-term uses of income, and then we can start to look for ways of how to spend less than we earn.
You know, and that sometimes it creates the problem of a person just managing it. And, you know, one of the questions we got a couple of months ago, and we worked on this project of developing a budget kind of giving guidelines to a budget for the Mid-South.
Right.
You know, if you got a budget and you live in California, that's the housing
may be a little different.
A little different than
taxes may be slightly different.
But the reality is, so we put this together, and I think we're going to prepare this and give this away to some people, just simply if they'll, as we work through this process, if they'll text us or send us their email address, and they can do that. All we have to do is get it together in a PDF, and we're working on that, and I think that we'll make that available. But budgeting is what you're talking about, is just saying, okay, I'm going to spend less than I grow. What about this use of debt?
Well, first of all, I want to change that word budgeting to spending plan. People don't like that word budgeting,
so
we always call it a spending plan. It's
okay.
A little more proactive and forward.
Right.
So let's talk about avoiding the use of debt or at least minimizing it. It's hard to absolutely avoid debt, but debt always mortgages your future, right? Whatever you borrow today, you're basically borrowing from your future cash flow. So you're taking money you could put to other uses in the future, and now you have to apply that toward debt repayment or interest repayments. And it is actually, if you think this through, it's three times as hard to get out of debt as it is to get in.
Mm-hmm.
For example, let's say you overspend by $1,000 each year, and let's just assume you're putting that on a credit card, and you do this for 10 years. So at the end of 10 years, you've overspent by $1,000 each year. Now you've got $10,000 of credit card debt. Let's be generous and assume we're only paying 10% interest, so we're paying $1,000 per interest. So that lifestyle decision is now costing us really $3,000 to get out of, because we have to reduce our spending by $1,000 to stop overspending by $1,000. We have to pay $1,000 to interest, and then we have to pay $1,000 to pay the debt down. So that's where I get that equation, that it's actually three times as hard to get out as it is to get in.
But Scott, I can understand what you're saying, and I really do, because we've counseled a lot of people that we see that. But if you start that habit early of overspending, it is very difficult.
Very difficult.
Almost like an addiction.
Yes.
And you go, and so talking to someone, we got people getting married in June. Okay, so this is the month when a lot of people get married. My anniversary is coming up in June the 18th. If anybody wants to send me a gift, I'll give it to my wife. That's just mentioning that, you know.
Are we going to say which anniversary that is?
I don't mind telling you. 51 years, partner.
Congratulations.
51
That's
years.
Incredible.
And I mean, it's a phenomenal marriage. I'm just blessed over. I way outkicked my coverage. She's a super lady. I'm so overmarried. But, guys, here's the thing. If you start out and you develop that habit early on, it's a whole lot better to understand the adjustments that you have to make. But if you've gotten out of control and the habit happens to be you're overspending, that can be very difficult.
It's difficult, but you have to start somewhere. There's a lot of good programs out there. There's other famous radio hosts that talk about a debt snowball, where you just basically start, pick your lowest debt, start paying that down, and then take those payments to get on. There's a lot of plans you can use to get out of debt, but I think it's one of the best things you can do for yourself is to take those necessary steps and get debt off of your balance sheet as much as possible.
Debt off of your balance sheet. All right, let's talk about building liquidity. Now that, I mean, you said margin. I mean, I understand that. So I'm thinking about this now. I'm spending less than I make. That's difficult for some people. And if you're doing that, you're probably not using debt that much, but avoid the use of debt. Now you're talking about saving money.
Absolutely. And we always start with, I talk about building that margin, because if you don't have some sort of a economic safety net in place or an emergency fund in place, any kind of life event is going to potentially put you back in debt or cause you to spend more than you make and accumulate debt of things of that nature. So building that, first of all, let's build some liquidity. Let's build some short-term liquidity. But also building liquidity or building margin is about doing that spending less than you earn. So once you have that extra money, I'll put that in quotes, now you can start deciding what I'm going to do with that. I'm going to save some for the short term. I may save some for some medium-term goals. Maybe there's some big purchases coming up, maybe an auto purchase, down payment on a house, things of that nature. And then, of course, the long-term goals of possibly financial independence or retirement plan.
All right, so building liquidity and setting long-term goals work almost
They work hand
together.
In hand. Yeah. Now that particular one, why do we even include that in there? Well, so many people operate without a plan in place. They're just, and you know, there's nothing wrong with saving for the sake of saving, by the way. Spending less than you earn is a principle, but what helps you stay on track, what makes what is a very difficult process easier, is setting those long-term goals. Know those targets that you're shooting for. We like to have those either written, you know, that can be written in digital form or print form, but we want to know exactly what we're trying to accomplish. And setting long-term goals and working with people in their finances over the years I've been doing this is the only way I've seen to help people keep the short-term needs from overcrowding the long-term desires.
And totally understanding that. You know, the key, I think, is there's so much that we've got to talk about. I mean, you're talking about spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, build liquidity, setting long-term goals. Now, we've got two people also here in the studio with us, and Dane Williams is with us, and so is, you know, Daniel Irwin. It's the first Saturday of the month. Daniel, you've got a question.
Scott, how often should we be reevaluating those goals? Like, just based on how life goes, or like, when should I be sitting down reevaluating those?
I think annually. I always think, you know, a spending plan, I think, occurs annually. It's kind of managed on a monthly basis or monthly cash flow basis, and really kind of monitored daily, if you will, kind of looking at how you're spending that. So I think it's good with any of these plans, no less than annually, we're sitting down and reviewing all this. Make sure our goals are haven't changed. Sometimes it's a life event that causes goals, right? Birth of a child, you know, new marriage, whatever that may be. But sitting down at a minimum annually and reviewing this stuff. Now, most people spend more time planning for a 2-week vacation than they do their financial future. So just carving out a few hours a year to sit down and really drill down into your cash flow. Think about your goals. If you're married, I encourage married couples to work on this together. Maybe go on a weekend retreat. Set these goals and do that on at least an annual basis.
You know, you talked about the weekend retreat. And again, we mentioned I've been married almost 51 years. Bottom line is, when we first got married, you know, we didn't have anything. I was coming out of the military. You know, I took two nickels, tried to rub them together and get a dime. It didn't work, you know. But the point is, we started that discipline of going on that weekend retreat because It did require us to communicate. We get so busy living life that our communication is at I'm not saying superficial level. That's not what I'm trying to imply. But the reality is, we're not always talking about money.
Oh, no.
But this, when we would go, we'd go up to Missouri, and we would get into a place that we could go and sit around an indoor pool and talk about our finances, talk about what she was looking for as furniture, what I was looking for as long-term goals. And it was good communication. Granted, I had a motivation. I think I've told you this before. When you get married and you end up with your wife's bedroom suit as the one you have in your house, and it's a canopy bed, and it's got pink flowers on it, I was motivated, guys.
I bet that was cute, Jim.
It was not only cute, it was lovely. But the reality is, you know, it gave us a point to say, what I would like to do is get a bedroom suit. Well, you know, my wife was very, understood that. She got some ideas of what a bedroom suit would look like. She cut it out of a magazine. She put it in and said, this is what you're looking at. That's great for me. And she ordered it. And because we knew when we ordered it, we'd pay for it. We ordered it and pay for it. We didn't go out and put some great big debt. Back to what you're saying, spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, build liquidity, set long-term goals, and part of that weekend retreat you're talking about literally allowed us to do that. You know,
yeah. I'm sure y'all always agreed on everything,
no,
too, right?
Yeah, sure she did. Right. Yeah. I had to do the agreeing, guys. That's the bottom line. You know, yes, ma'am. Yes,
I understand
ma'am. You know, the best thing about a 51-year marriage, I thought I was in charge. But I found out I was not, you know, never was, never will be. Hey, you know, let me say this to you. Somebody told me this the other day, and I thought it was great. When you're born, you look like your parents. When you get old, you look like your decisions.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good. That's what we're talking about here. So the last fundamental, Scott, what's that last fundamental?
Give generously. And this one's the one that can sound a little counterintuitive when you're trying to build wealth. But and this is for me personally, and it proves out in a lot of statistics too. Giving just to me calibrates your heart. It helps you be grateful about what you've been blessed with. And I just think it's one of those key fundamentals of managing money and keeping the right attitude about money. Money is a tool. Money is not the end goal in itself. That's why we talk about the importance of setting those long-term goals. The goal is not just to accumulate a big pile of money. The goal is other things in life, whether it's relationships, things that we want for our futures and our family. Those are the end goals, and money is just a tool to accomplish that. And I think that giving generously helps calibrate your heart toward that mentality of money being a tool and a testimony to who you belong to.
Well, that's so critical. And I think that's when you realize you hold it loosely. You're a steward of what you've been entrusted with. And that's what we try to teach people to understand. The principles of money management is reality. Just holding loosely the money, do what you're supposed to do. Again, spend less than you earn. Great fundamental. Avoid the use of debt. Build liquidity. Set long-term goals. And you mentioned, Scott, write them down. I mean, make sure they're part of your life and part of what you're trying to do. And then, of course, give generously. Hold that dollar loosely, that it's not always something that you have to just squeeze it to death. If you want to talk to Scott, you can call him at 901-757-5757. But let me say, I'm going to turn the page because Scott did a great job giving us fundamentals. But Dane Williams from Shoemaker Insurance Solutions is going to talk to us about issues and concerns that carriers face today and insurance carriers. Now, Dane, this is a big topic, but welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, you know, big topic. I mean, when I introduced it coming up, you're talking about auto insurance, homeowners insurance, and dollar cost is just going out the roof.
Yes, yes.
Out the roof. That was pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
All right. Dane, tell us what's going on. I mean, you know, the insurance companies right now, why are the rates going up so much?
Well, and we're seeing a lot. Sometimes people say, these insurance companies are just making money hand over fist. But honestly, the rates are going up because profitability has been an issue the last few years.
Is that because of the amount of claims? I mean, we've got tornadoes, we've had hurricanes, we've had fires in California. I mean, a lot of claims going on.
There's been a ton of things that have happened. And then we've also got our recovering from this pandemic world that we've been in. But when you look at last year, right, or 2021 rather, the insurance companies as an industry, we just barely struggled to make a profit, right? It's something to where if you're looking at what they paid out in total expenses, $99.60 out of every 100 that they brought in got paid out somewhere along the way. There was just barely a profit. When they looked at 2022, out of every $100 they brought in, they paid out $102.70, right? They just weren't profitable as an industry. So we're starting to see issues with that as it relates to claims, as it relates to having people that are going to work in these jobs and the cost to actually run an insurance company. These are the issues why we're seeing increase in cost across home and auto insurance.
You know, I have to admit to you that I've never felt too remorseful for insurance companies.
I get that.
Not the nicest way to say that. Just I've never pitied them.
Sure.
But because I always thought, you know, it's just so expensive, and I never have a claim. But what you're saying is claims have just been, I mean, I've got a claim going on right now from basically water pipes that broke in the building during the freeze.
Sure. And it's something to where being the guy that's advocating for the sadness of insurance companies is not going to win me many friends at parties. But,
exactly.
But what I can tell you is that these are very real costs that they're incurring. When we look at the property claims, The Associated Builders and Contractors, they reported that at the end of 2022, construction costs were 37.7% higher than they were pre-pandemic. It's costing more for them to fix things, to fix the broken pipes, to fix the houses that burned down, all of these issues. And just like several other industries, they've had people that have retired and gotten out altogether. So it's a challenge for sure.
Okay, so when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, you're saying building materials, all this is part of this cost and thing. So I want to make sure that we're delineating between home insurance and car insurance. We're going to kind of talk about that too. But coming up, we got Dane Williams. We're going to continue our discussion on issues and concerns that carriers, insurance carriers, face in our tri-state area, but also in the nation. And that's going to be extremely important. And after Dane, I get to talk to Daniel Irwin from the Better Business Bureau. He's going to take us back to scam school, employment, vacation, timeshares, rental cars. Would you believe we're having a problem? It's summertime and rental cars. People are scamming people for rental cars. It's amazing. And also cancellation scams. You don't want to miss it. It's a great program. I got great guests. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. And if you're getting to remind you, get the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, simply look for Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker. Stay with us. We'll be back in a second. I'm Jim Shoemaker. This is Talk Money.
This material represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time and is not intended to be a forecast of future events or a guarantee of future results. This information is not investment advice or a recommendation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested.
Helping you make the most of your money. Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker on News Talk 98.9.
Neither Shoemaker Financial nor Securian Financial Services are affiliated with Daniel Irwin or the Better Business Bureau. The views and opinions expressed are those of Daniel Irwin only and have not been presented on behalf of or endorsed by Securian Financial Services, Inc. or Shoemaker Financial.
Helping you make the most of your money, it's time for Talk Money. Now, your host, Jim Shoemaker.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Shoemaker. You're listening to Talk Money. We're just having a great time. I hope you're enjoying the program. We've got Scott Jordan, who's talked about five fundamentals of money management. I'm talking with Dane Williams right now. We're talking about issues and concerns of insurance carriers and what they're faced with today and why we, the consumer, are going to have to pay higher premiums. And you know, we talked a little bit about this, that I'm not one that normally would feel sorry for an insurance company, but I understand that we have had some major claims, and you know, that's a good part about it. Scott's going to help us with that. Daniel Irwin's coming up, too, going to take us through scam school, and there are some scams you got to listen to. Stay with us, because that's great, great types of programming coming up. All right. I'm looking at my man here, and Dane, listen, this is important. If we're talking about building materials, most everybody would say, okay, I can understand. Pre-pandemic, building materials were X. Post-pandemic, building materials are Y. Is that because of the pandemic, or is that because of the insurance claims?
Well, it's something where we're seeing, obviously, the rise in cost of materials. And when we have these higher costs, just walk through the aisles of Home Depot and you'll notice it, right? But as we're looking at these insurance companies having to pay out these claims for now more expensive brick, more expensive roofing materials, more expensive granite, and all the things that go with that on top of more expensive labor, because it's harder to find people to do these jobs. Everyone just said, I'll do something else. I'd like my back to not hurt as much. These insurance companies are having to bear those increased costs while saying, all right, our prices have been what they've been for a lot of years. Now we're having to go higher. That's why we're seeing the increase in premiums. These companies are in business to stay in business. And if they're not generating a profit, it just doesn't make sense for them to continue to do it.
All right. So what do you say to the consumer right now that's trying to figure out this when it comes to buying home insurance at this point?
It's tough. I have this conversation since we've been sitting here. I've gotten multiple emails, text messages, and phone calls from people saying, hey, it's more expensive. And it's not just us. It's everyone with every insurance company across the nation is running into this exact same problem. And we're all in it together.
Carriers? Are we seeing carriers leave our tri-state area?
Oh, we are. Not even if they're not leaving, we're seeing them limit the amount of business they will write drastically. We had one of our carriers that was very prominent for us In one of the states they write, they said, nope, we're not writing any more business in that state. You can't do it. And in some of the other states we write, they said, okay, you can continue to do it, but only if the house is less than 10 years old, if it's had its roof replaced within this many years, and something to where it's like, this house is pretty much brand new and it's not going to have any issues that we're going to have to pay out claims. When you get those scenarios, it's like, okay, yes, you are still in the state, but you know, are they really trying to write business? And when you go outside of our area, we've seen several states to where companies have just pulled out completely and said, look, we don't want to do business in this state anymore. It's not profitable. If you're in Louisiana and Florida and California, several of the major brand name insurance carriers are saying, that's not a profitable state for us. We're out.
All right, you were talking about homeowners insurance. Now, we've got a question, and it's a legitimate question, especially for our area. All of a sudden, and it's not just Memphis, but it's basically all over the United States, where you have a particular car that gets, and we'll talk about auto insurance, and gets broken into more than once. Sure. Or, you know, I mean, now this is an issue. Are we going to see rate increases because of where you live? Or, I mean, you know, I'm fortunate enough, and I don't know anybody. Well, I do know one person that's had their car broken into. But the reality is, car stolen, excuse me. Sure. Not just broken into, but car stolen. And then I know another person that somebody, you know, they came in through the sunroof and burst it and vandalized the car, took it. The point is this a problem that we're going to see? Is that going to increase our auto insurance?
Yeah, we're already seeing the increases as it relates to auto, and not quite as drastic as home, but we're definitely seeing it on the auto side for sure. In the Memphis area, when you look at 2022, they reported there were 2,294 vehicle thefts that happened in our city.
2,000? Say it again.
2,294 vehicle thefts last year, right? And through May 10th of this year, we're already over 5,390 in 2023 already. We've already doubled it, and we're not even halfway through the year. It's definitely something that is a major issue for us, and we've seen some companies say, look, if you have one of these type cars, we're just not going to offer insurance on it. We're not going to get involved with that.
Is that particular to like the Hyundai, Kia? Because I'm one of those people with a Hyundai, and I bought a club just in case. I don't know if it's going to help me, but
that doubles. It's more than doubled.
It's outrageous. It's something that we...
Boy, you shook up Tyler. I mean, you know, he just almost fell out in his chair here.
He's trying to sell his cars when he's trying to do it.
It's a new car.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah.
But we've got that. But then again, we talk about increased materials on the home side of things. Our vehicles are improving with all kinds of technology. And you buy a new vehicle now, it's got cameras and sensors and all kinds of bells and whistles, as opposed to if we go back in the day, we would just bolt grandma's steel bumper back on the Buick and we'd keep going.
But the problem is the average car today is 12.5 years old.
Yeah.
In America. And that's amazing. 12.5-year-old car. You know, mine is not quite that old yet, but it's at 9 years, and my wife's car is hitting 10. But think about it now, guys. This is U.S. This is from U.S. Global. I mean, S&P Global. Bottom line is, when you think about cars getting older, I'm holding on to that non-camera car.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm getting to the point, I don't care if you break into it. You know, is that what you're saying? Is that what's happening?
Well, when it happens, when something happens with some of these, yes, we've got the cars that are getting stolen, which is obviously a significant expense that we're having to bear. But even for the vehicles that aren't getting stolen, something that used to just be a fender bender that would be a $600 fix is now a $6,000 fix, because there are so many different moving parts to go with it. And as we see the increase of some of the electric vehicles and whatnot that are coming into the market, there are so few people. Just your normal body shop can't fix that. There may be one guy in the entire state that can do it, and he's backed up 6 months. What are you going to do? And is this insurance company on the hook for giving you a rental car for a long time? What's happening there? All of these things are driving up the cost of the auto claims, and therefore we're seeing that played out in our rental, in our auto insurance.
So am I better off, right? Let's say if I buy a new car in the next month, year, 2 years, am I better off buying...
you could buy my F-150 if you like.
9 years old, well loved.
A hybrid vehicle, or even a non-hybrid vehicle, short of rather than an electric vehicle, because the mechanics and the learning and the ability to produce the parts and the repairs for the newest of vehicles, the electric vehicles, you know, the sort of the future looking vehicles, haven't caught up yet with the production of those vehicles.
Well, it depends, really. I think the popularity of the vehicle helps. Tesla is probably the most popular popular, most common electric vehicle that we see out there right now. And there are enough places now that can work on that, enough dealerships and whatnot around to where that's not quite as bad as some of the more specialized ones. There was one that I saw that is an incredibly cool looking truck, this Rivian that
My neighbor's got a Rivian. Boy, it is a cool looking truck.
It looks really cool, right?
I've tried to swap it. He won't deal with me right
nine
now.
9 years old, well loved F-150, didn't get the job done.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah. Well, I saw it was a fender bender that this luckily wasn't one of our clients, but another insurance friend of mine was saying that it was a fender bender. You couldn't really tell if they really got hit, but it was a little bit. And it took him 6 months to get his vehicle back. If this were on your F-150, you may not have even filed a claim because it was that
probably wouldn't have.
$40,000 claim that they ended up paying out, though. $40,000 to fix these things because they had to take the whole thing apart and put it back together to get it back as it was in its pre-loss condition. Wow. And with some of these specialized vehicles like this, where there's just not many people that know to work on them, it can really drive up our claims costs and it can be an issue.
I'm going to buy a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
I mean, a Beetle.
Okay, a Beetle.
I mean, guys, it's what you're saying is whether it's homeowners or car, it's something we have to think through. I mean, I appreciate what Tyler's saying. He's got a nice car and, you know, he gets a boot. He gets all the things. And yet it's a car that every day he walks out to it, he's looking to see if it's broken into. Mm-hmm. Give me that number again of the number of cars that have been broken into or stolen. Is it stolen or broken into?
So vehicle thefts is what it is.
Vehicle thefts in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah. So 2022 is 2,294. Through May 10th, they had reported 5,390.
Gosh. That's insane.
You know what? That's a sobering thought.
Wow.
Of what we've got going on in this city. And the reality is it's not just this city.
No, it's happening all over. Sometimes we can get in our head because of Memphis problems. But when you go to San Antonio, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Miami, they're running into the exact same things.
Problem. How long do you think this is going to last as far as the homeowners continuing to go, the cost of that? And, you know, what's it going to, I mean, I've got a couple of ideas what it would take to, you know, to get rid of the car thefts, but I think anybody's going
we don't want to start riding our bikes to work, Jim.
Well, I'm thinking something like that, you know, or commute or whatever. How long do you think this is going to, insurance problem is going to last?
You know, when we look at all the industry experts and all of the trending signs, it doesn't look like we're looking for a break this year, probably. They're saying probably at earliest, maybe spring of next year, we might start to level off and kind of see some stabilization, but I would imagine we'll continue to see increases for the rest of this year as they're still just trying to get back to a point of, yes, we can afford all the claims that we're paying out.
You know, I don't remember in my career this type of crisis, you know, where we have had this type of problem. And it's back to what we're talking about with fundamentals of money management. It's really making sure that you've got this mindset when you're thinking through this process of spending less than you make, and then making sure that you're avoiding the debt and things. I mean, just the whole process.
And I'll throw a plug for Dane in. I think this is the importance of sitting down with somebody who truly understands the insurance and walking through your needs. Because again, when we talk about making wise cash flow decisions, protection decisions are part of those decisions, and not just, you know, the easy answer is let me find the cheapest thing out there, but the better answer is to sit down with somebody who truly understands the coverage you need and walk through that with you.
Well, no question about that, and Dane did a great job. I mean, he shook up Tyler enough, you know. That's good. So I'm hoping
Tyler got animated there for a minute.
But if you'd like to buy a new Kia, call into the station. Tyler has got a great deal for
it.
You.
You know, hey, we get a rise out of Tyler. That's a good thing. I love it. Well, here's a guy that's going to get a rise out of you, because if you're going to be taking a vacation trip and you're flying somewhere, and you decide you're going to rent a car, and you type in rental, you've got possibly a problem. Daniel Irwin, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. Sir, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. You know, not only do you have to worry about your car being stolen, but now you got to also worry about thieves stealing your money when you're trying to rent a car. Just to be able to drive around because your car got stolen and you can't get it fixed in time.
More plugs for bicycles. That's what's happening. Yeah. More plugs for bicycles.
All right, let me ask you this, Daniel. I mean, literally, you're talking about booking phony reservations through a fake customer type service program, and it literally sucks you in and you're done.
Yeah, essentially scammers are posing as rental car companies. They're setting up their own websites and they're advertising fake customer service phone numbers all to convince you that it's real. So it happens a little bit like this, right? Your car gets stolen and you need a rental car. Yeah. Or you're about to go on vacation. You don't want to put the miles on your car because we're keeping our cars longer, right? You just said, was it 12 years?
12.5
years. Yeah. You don't want to put the miles on your car. You're going to the beach. I'm going to rent a car. I need something big. I got to put the family in it. I'm just going to Google, you know, a rental car. Yeah, right. Yeah. You Google it and you just assume because you're Googling it and the first thing that pops up is a customer service number. And again, it may be a no-name company or it may be a brand you recognize. You call that number and they're going to say, hello, this is so-and-so. And they're going to give you a really good deal on whatever it is you're looking for. But the caveat is you have to pay by gift card. Well, you've already shopped around a little bit or this deal that you're getting just sounds way too good to be true. But again, it seems like it's who you thought you were calling, right? And you may have Googled around or, you know, you may have already tried to get a better deal somewhere else. You knew what the price was, but this deal is just so good, too good to be true. And you think, okay, well, you know, this seems a little strange, but we'll pay this way. Okay, you do. And you don't even know that it's a scam until you get to the legitimate place. You try to get your reservation and they have no idea what you're talking about. And in the meantime, you've bought that gift card. You've given the numbers on the back of that card and you can't get your money back. So it's gone. This is how big of a problem it's been so far in the last 6 months, right? Since January of 2023, we've had 12 reports to our scam tracker here in Memphis for a loss of $3,800. So that's 12 people that have lost money to this scam. Now, we know that it's happening a lot more than that. Most people don't report scams, especially if they lost money. So that number is actually probably a lot higher. But our phones and our email has been blowing up the past couple of weeks. People checking out too good to be true deals. So it's out there. So, you know, you just have to be really, really careful when you Google something. Because again, anybody can pay for a link on Google. Anybody can put anything on there they want to if they pay the money. So just because you Google a number doesn't mean it's the real number, right? And sometimes you'll call them or they'll even call you back and it'll show up on your caller ID as who you thought you'd call. So you just have to verify everything. And keep in mind, the number one red flag in this one, and I can't believe I continue to have to say this every single month, but I do, is the gift card, right?
Yeah, you talk about that. During the prep time when we were talking about this back in the boardroom, back in the conference room, the reality is that shocks me that doesn't seem to register that if I got to get a gift card, it's probably not a legitimate business.
Yeah, and again, scammers are really good at what they do, and they do this all day long. So they have answers to all your questions. So you're skeptical. Let's say I'm the scammer and you've called me and you're like, well, why do I have to pay by a gift card? Well, we're running a special and it's with this gift card company. So, you know, this is just our special. Take it or leave it, right? You know, so they've got answers to all your questions. Again, this is what they do. This is their job. This is all they do, and they're very good at it. So any reservation you have, they think that if they can keep you on the phone long enough, they can convince you or they can sell you.
The key is, I guess, what you're saying is if I've rented a car 5 times in 1 month, I probably wouldn't do this. If this is the first car I've rented in 5 years.
Right.
Then I might be very susceptible.
If you're not a savvy traveler, you're not somebody that, you know, that travels a lot, or, you know, you've got a family, you don't want to put the miles on the family vehicle, you're driving down to the beach, you know, you need a little extra room than what you have, you know, because you're going to be taking all the stuff, you know, and you don't rent a car very often, right? You know, but you do, so you just, you, we don't have phone books anymore, right? Where are you going to get the number to the rental car company? That's, you're going, right, to Google it. So, you know, you just have to be really careful. We recommend getting contact information directly from a business's website. And again, you want to do that from a computer if you can, because there are fake and imposter websites out there. So if you're Googling a rental car company and you click on a link, it may take you to a website that's not legitimate, but it may look like the website you're trying to go to. The reason why you don't want to go to it on a phone is we all use our phones for everything. That's primarily how we get on the internet now, right? But you can't see the full URL when you're on your phone because the screen doesn't show it. So unless you're 100% sure, or if you're Googling stuff and going to be clicking links to get to the website, use a computer, or just type in the, you know, just go directly to the website if you can. Don't Google it and click on a link. Go directly to the website. Make sure you're aware that spoofed links are out there, right? Fake links oftentimes come from Google. That's how you get on those fake websites. And then when in doubt, verify specials directly with the company, right? If you're offered a special, don't, you know, and it sounds too good to be true, you know, hang up the phone, verify it, call the Better Business Bureau, call that business directly, you know, call an actual physical location, but make sure you verify everything.
Okay, that, you know, such important information, Daniel. You always do a good job. You just tuned in. This is Daniel Irwin we're talking with the Better Business Bureau. He always does a great job of sharing with us what's going on in our neighborhood about scams and really a rental car scam. You're going to take the vacation. You're going to rent a car. You make the phone call. You go online. You Google, as he said. Be careful and be sensitive and be smart. But now, I've got to go to this other one in the time remaining, this idea behind vacation clubs. I mean, I know that's a problem, and people talk about that.
So let me give you an idea of how risky vacation clubs, timeshares and timeshare exit companies are. In the last 2 years, the Better Business Bureau has received 20,000 complaints about timeshare purchases, exits, vacation clubs, with more than $21 million disputed. We've received more than 6,000 negative reviews about timeshare purchases, exits, and vacation clubs, and more than 1,500 vacation-related BBB scam tracker reports with losses over $3 million. That's how big of a problem it is.
You know, guys, I don't know about y'all, but I'm depressed. I mean, we get, you know, well, this started out to be a great program. You gave us some fundamentals, Scott, and it sounded like everything was great.
It's all gone downhill.
Then all of a sudden, I got a problem. The Dane's killing us with what's going on, and now I'm depressed. I think I'm going to take a nap. Go ahead.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, consumer data shows that timeshares are nearly impossible to sell, and yet exit companies make big promises and charge large fees to do so. So you just have to be really, really careful. You know, some of the timeshare and vacation clubs, they use high pressure sales tactics. They hide maintenance fees and taxes and other costs, right? So you don't always know what you're paying up front. So 3, 4, 5 years later, the cost is going to increase, but your income may have not. So now you're paying an exorbitant amount of money for something that you didn't plan for. Daniel, you know, so when you were budgeting, like Scott said, right, you didn't plan for this cost.
You got a situation, you're on vacation. They're going to offer you to, here's some free tickets to go to something if you come and listen to our pitch. You know, and you know when you're going into it. I mean, this is not like, oh, I didn't know I was going to be given a sales pitch. And you go back to this high pressure sales pitch.
Right.
And that's a problem.
It's a huge problem. And you got to be really careful, because oftentimes things that are promised in those long pitch meetings, where they usually will give you dinner and, you know, tickets to a show or whatever it is, it's not in the contract. So you have to read, and these contracts are extremely long and they're extremely hard to get out of, and they usually last a lifetime, and it can be, you know, and unless you're an attorney, or even if you are, sometimes they'd be hard to read, right? So they're just very, very wordy, and you don't always know what it is you're signing up for. So, you know, if you are someone that's interested in timeshares, you know, you just have to really know what you're getting into for the long haul.
So summertime, vacation time, rental car scams, and be careful with the vacation clubs and the timeshares.
Yes.
Tell me more about what you need to do with the timeshares and vacation clubs. I think that's got to be one that can be the biggest, most expensive mistake a person can make.
And again, not only do you have to worry about timeshare clubs, vacation clubs, and then on the opposite end, the exit, right? The companies you hear all the time that are, you know, advertising, hey, we can get you out of your timeshare. But then you got to throw in scammers, you know, people that are taking advantage of this, people that are mimicking these real companies that, you know, want your information and they want you to pay all this money up front, and they never have any intention of trying to get you out. So there are actual legitimate companies out there that advertise themselves as they can get you out of your timeshare. Now, whether they can or not, I mean, that really is all about the contract you signed. But there are fraudulent companies out there that never have any intention of doing it. And because the industry standard is to pay so much money up front, you have to be really careful, because one of two things can happen. You can pay all that money and the legitimate company can't do what they promised you, and you've probably had to sign something along the way saying, I understand that this isn't guaranteed and I won't get my money back. Or you pay all this money up front to a fake company that never had any intention of working with you in the first place, because it isn't real, it doesn't exist, and they're thieves.
Well, you know, guys, this is such an important conversation, and we've run out of time, Daniel. Again, man, I'd like to have you back. This is stuff we're talking about today that people need to know with the summer, and that's really important. Yeah. So let me just say this. We'll do that. We'll have Daniel back on. We'll have Dane back on. Scott, you're always on, so thank you, sir. I want to appreciate these guys so much. That's Daniel Irwin, Dane Williams, and Scott Jordan. If you want to reach out to Daniel, you can at 901-759-1300. Better Business Bureau. It's just smart to call them before you. If there's just any doubt, call the Better Business Bureau. Dane and Scott, you can reach out to them, 901-757-5757. If you have questions, type them to Jim, J-I-M, to the text line, 901-683-0989, or to talkmoney@shoemakerfinancial.com. That's Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. We're here, and of course, we want you to also join us on Sundays at 9 if you missed the Saturday morning show. I want to thank my producer, Todder Springs, and Maximilian, guest and content coordination, Francis Fortner, production and marketing assistant, Lauren Norsworthy, and of course, the compliance officer, Tommy Armstrong. Thank you so much for listening. We're for you, and we're here every week helping you make the most of your money. I'm Jim Shoemaker. This is Talk Money.
Jim Shoemaker and Scott Jordan are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., securities dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Shoemaker Financial is independently owned and operated.
Helping you make the most of your money. This has been Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker on News Talk 98.9.